Next up for us, it's the Joe Montana Bowl, the 2-2 Chiefs at the 2-2 49ers, 4:25 Eastern Time, Sunday on CBS from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Evan Washburn on the call in this one here. And you have a 49ers.
All friends
team.
Of yours, I'm sure.
I don't know any of them personally. I do know if Trent Green at some point gets injured during the game, that Kurt Warner perhaps will be there to come in.
Oh, very good, very good. And never give the job back.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He won't yield it. He'll move up from the NFL Network to CBS.
Yes.
The Niners are laying 6.5 in
this
one.
Did you know that Kurt Warner used to stock shelves in Iowa?
I've heard that. That's a rumor.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Grocery stores.
Yeah, exactly. I have heard a thing or two about that. Niners laying 6.5. 4.5 at the open, which seems kind of curious to me that it would have spiked like that, given the shocking performance that the Chiefs put up against New England. And, again, this is a game where, you know, you don't want to be overly influenced by what just happened in the last game.
Nope.
Here. You don't. But I'm taking the points in it because, again, at 6.5, I mean, this is almost a borderline why ask why. I should almost be taking San Francisco in this game because I'm befuddled that Kansas City would be getting this many. But it's what I said to you earlier in the show, that I don't feel like I was vastly off on Kansas City. They're probably going to win a handful more games than I thought, but still not be a playoff team.
I still think they're a 6-10, 7-9.
They
team.
Might be, but here's the thing, though. It's possible to be a non-ugly. Well, most 7-9 teams are non-ugly. 6-10, you're sort of separated into the ugly and the non-ugly. And an Andy Reid team is not going to be an ugly 6-10.
No. I mean,
Kansas City is going to hang even in the games that they lose, notwithstanding the opener. The opener at this point looks like an outlier. I don't think Kansas City wins this game. San Francisco is in a lot more trouble than
yes.
I think they are. And I've been the guy saying, don't panic, people. I've been doing the Aaron Rodgers routine about the 49ers, and I'm going to continue to. This is just like the Dallas-Houston game in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind the 49ers win this game, but I don't like them laying 6.5. It just seems like the way Kansas City's been streaking lately, they're going to stay within that. I say take the point.
I could not believe Kansas City's off Monday night. I could not believe
it's a hell
what
of
I was watching.
1-2 punch at running back, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
you know,
really
Niall
is. I mean,
Davis,
Niall Davis, who has a little fumbleitis, he's a good running back, though. I mean, he was good. I mean,
in
Arkansas. Yeah,
yes.
In Arkansas, he was very good.
Yes.
Kansas City is a team that I would have expected to be 1-3 at this point.
Yeah.
The only game that I would have had them winning was Week 1 against Tennessee. That was the only game they were favored, and sure enough, that was their worst game of the year. They've since come back to cover 3 in a row.
Right.
Almost beat Denver in Denver. They
started their turnaround in a loss,
yeah.
Basically.
They've since waxed Miami and waxed New England. Short week, though, here, heading out to the West Coast. That does them no favors, but with the number being bet up and the 49ers being a little flaky to this point, they've been favored in all 4 games. They're just 2-2 straight up. Never mind, also 2-2 against the spread. And, you know, that's and what I'm looking at right here is actually giving them a cover last week against Philadelphia. Your results may vary there. So
I'm not counting it as a cover.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you're
bitter.
Not. Yeah, I mean,
I'm very bitter about that.
So this is a game that I crossed off pretty quickly.
Okay. I can't blame you for that one at all. This is a tough one. All right. Next up, folks, we have the 1-3 Jets at the 3-1 Chargers. Real AFL historical battle here. 4:25 Eastern Time.
Thank you, Chris Berman.
Yes. From Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. According to USA Today Sports Weekly, Greg Gumbel and Trent Green on the call for this one. USA Today Sports Weekly, of course, also listing Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, and Evan Washburn simultaneously in Santa Clara calling the 49ers Chiefs game. So which is it? Have they cloned these guys? Has technology gotten to that point? What's it going to be? Or did USA Today Sports Weekly have a misprint? Personally, I find cloning to be more plausible than USA Today Sports Weekly having a misprint.
Oh.
So the technology perhaps has caught up to that.
Maybe it'll be Brian Gumbel.
Maybe it will be.
Quite frankly, Josh Gordon is a young man that made a mistake.
Brian Gumbel and NHL defenseman Mike Green on the call. Yes,
yes.
That's what it's supposed
yes,
to be.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what they meant to say. In this one, San Diego's laying 6.5 down from 7.5 at the open. This is one where, again, I went against the Chargers last week. Thought that Jacksonville would get the back door, as did you.
They were in position to. Bortles threw a late interception when they were driving.
They were.
And that would have given them the cover.
You and I, I'm going to give us credit. You and I have been way on San Diego, more so than the average tout coming into this year.
I have them number 3 in my power rankings.
Yeah.
And look at their schedule in front of them, with this, including this week.
And
home versus Jets at Oakland, Kansas City. It could be 6-1 with only a 1-point loss at Arizona heading into the Denver game.
And in terms of them being, we said coming into this year, if it wasn't going to be Denver or New England, and we're starting to get close to the point where we're saying, does New England even belong in that conversation? If it's not Denver or New England, who goes to the Super Bowl out of the AFC? You both said the Chargers hands down. And looking at this one here again, the Chargers, as good as we thought they were, they may even exceed our expectations. The Jets, I have come around to your point of view.
I can't wait.
This is looking like a fugly kind of a season for them. A lot of times there's a danger in overcorrecting, and a couple times this week I'm saying I don't want to make the same mistake I did last week. I feel like I doubted San Diego last week in a very, very similar spot, and they're good enough at this point just to pour it on the Jets, and I think they're going to. I'll take San Diego, especially since it's inside of a touchdown. I'll take them way into 6.5 because I have no confidence in the Jets offense right now, whether it's Vic, Smith, or whoever. Doesn't matter because you got Phillip Rivers on the other side and he's dropping 30 minimum.
Said a lot of things the last several weeks with you on the show. Some of them smart, some of them not so much. But one of the things I'm proudest of saying, at least right now as we speak about this game, is remember in the preseason, or maybe even before week one, when I talked about the Jets, you kind of referred to this a few moments ago, I said that they would win week one in Oakland, and they did. And then I referenced a 6-game stretch, which we are now in the middle of.
Yep.
That would see them going up against Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Hello. I said that would not go well for them. It would lead to some fans calling for Mike Vick. That's already begun, although it's not. I don't think it's reached its apex yet. That's going to happen in a couple weeks when they keep losing. Because I thought their only shot at a win during this 6-game stretch was the back-to-back home games the last 2 weeks against Chicago and Detroit. They have lost both of them. I give them zero chance of winning this game. This would be my number 2 pick for Survivor. I can't lay the points just because San Diego's 4-0 against the number now. Mm-hmm. They're due to not cover, probably. And especially with this stretch of sort of underwhelming opponents. Mm-hmm. There is a tendency, I know I said, you know, teams are closer than you think, and I'll keep with it. There is a tendency for, you know, one of these games to be closer than the experts think. So I'm not going to lay the points with San Diego, but Phillip Rivers against this Jets secondary has a chance to be a really awful afternoon for Rex Ryan. It's going to be interesting because the Jets are great at stopping the run, but San Diego doesn't ever run the ball.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, this is, I think, like the best run defense against the worst rush offense. So San Diego's going to be a one-dimensional offense. The problem is that one dimension is Phillip Rivers going up against a horrible injury-riddled secondary. He's going to be able to make enough plays. The Jets have no one that can cover these San Diego receivers. Chargers win. I think they're heading to 6-1. Remember, they were up, what, double digits on Arizona in that Monday night game?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that Denver-San Diego game is going to be real interesting. I think it's a Thursday night game, too, on October 23rd it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, San Diego's one of the very few teams in the league right now that I can see winning 11 games.
And again, we talk about this, you know, an 8-8 league, more clumping up towards the middle. This is one of the games that belies that because San Diego is way towards the one end of the spectrum, and the Jets, while they're not under the line with the Jaguars and the Raiders, at this point they're not far off from
them. I think they're a regression. Remember, I predicted them to be probably lower than anyone. I said 4-12.
Yeah.
I didn't see anyone picking the Jets to have a worse record. So a 1-6 start is kind of paramount to that. And remember, last year they won all those close games.
Right.
And so far this year, every game has been decided by 8 points or less. They've been on the wrong side of 3 of them.
Yep.
So the regression's already kicked in. They might just get there is the chance of them getting housed here.
Yeah.
Although I'm just not going to lay the points.
Well, that's going to be my pick. I got San Diego laying the 6.5. We move next to the Sunday night game. It's the 3-0 Bengals at the 2-2 Patriots.
Huge line move alert here.
Okay, 8:30 Eastern time, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. Yes, this is one where it opened as a pick.
No. It actually opened -3 New England.
-3?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'd seen it opening as a pick. That is a huge move.
Well, the pick is the reposted line after Monday night.
Okay.
They posted this originally before Monday night.
Oh, okay.
New England -3.
I got
for just home field advantage.
All right, because I didn't even look until after Monday night. All right, so it's gone from that to the present status of the Patriots getting 1.5 in this game. And this is just a thing where I just look at this, and it's not scientific at all because, again, I've got Cincinnati as number 2, I believe, presently in the FDH Lounge Power Rankings. By the way, you can find those every week the same place as the show. the FDH Lounge blog, the FDH Lounge multimedia magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. To me, all the value is out of going on Cincinnati in this one at this point with the line movement here. This is not scientific at all, but based on how New England played Monday night, I just can't see things going further in that direction. I have a hard time just envisioning what the AFC looks like with New England at 2-3, a division that's going to be won by default, it looks like at this point. It'll clearly be won by default if they go to 2-3. And by the way, you heard it here first. If New England goes to 2-3, this division will probably be the first one in the history of the league to be won with 7 wins. I'm calling it right now.
Even if New England wins this game, you think they're only an 8-win team?
Well, no. But if they lose, because I refuse to rule them out of the division because the division is pathetic. If they lose and they're 2-3, they might have a hard time getting past 7 wins, but I could still see them winning the division at 7 wins or somebody taking it from them in a tiebreaker. I just, again...
Aaron Schatz made a good case for the Bills this morning, believe it or not.
I'm doubling down here, which is sometimes a very dangerous thing to do, but I'm going to say the Pats, even after... And again, I toyed with making New England a recommendation last week. I would say thank God I didn't, but what difference does it make? I was 0-3 anyways. So, but it's still doubling down to say I'm going to be on them again. I understand it's a short week. Back's against the wall. We're going to see what they're made
since
of.
Since he's off a bye.
Since he's
3-0.
Off a bye. Yeah.
3-0 against the spread, too.
6 days rest versus, 14. It's dangerous. Notwithstanding all of that, I'm on the Patriots. I think this is going to be a defining game for where this team goes this season and maybe even into the future.
Cincinnati, 3-0 straight up and against the spread. All three games have also gone under. But is this 3-0 start as great as some are making it out to be, Rick Morris? They beat Atlanta and Tennessee at home the last two games. You'd expect them to win those games.
The Baltimore game is very impressive.
Winning at Baltimore.
Yeah.
But that was a tough back-and-forth game. I'll give them credit there. I think I had them losing that game.
Yeah, I did.
But even off the bye, I don't care. As you know, I have 6 recommendations this week. I have made 5 so far. That leaves 1. Talk about that simple math we always reference. 6th recommendation this week will be the New England Patriots. Anytime you see a line move like this, give me the other side of the public.
Okay.
I know New England has not even really looked good in any game here. But...
Case to be made that they're due. Well, Minnesota, but that was special circumstances. Yep. First AP, post-AP game.
Since 0-3, off a loss, New England... 34-5 straight up, 29-10 against the number.
Mm-hmm.
This will only be the 3rd time since 0-3 that New England is a home dog. Only 3 times in 11 seasons. One of them was last year. Do you know which game that was, Rick Morris? The infamous comeback game against Denver.
Yes.
Cincinnati, 1-4 is road chalk last year. This is one of those, they're a team, they're almost kind of like a New Orleans or Atlanta. I know they're an outdoor team, Cincinnati.
Right.
Great at home. They won all their games. I mean, they've won now 10 straight at home in the regular season.
Right.
But on the road, they're a little shakier. I just think this is a classic circle-the-wagons game for the Patriots. If it's not, you're right. I don't know what to think about the Patriots. Give me New England, 6 of 6 recommended plays this week.
In terms of perceptions also, I want to talk about that before we move on to the games that involve my big 3
I should say this. I mean, New England... Yeah. Has obviously been favored in all 4 games.
Yeah.
But 3 of those were by a field goal on the road.
Right.
Now, the other game, big favorite at home against Oakland, they didn't cover there either. So, I mean, it's obviously been an underachieving start.
Yeah.
But again, like New Orleans, they played 3 of their first 4 on the road. So
right.
Let's, if they lose this, it's time to hit the panic button.
Well,
but a circle the wagons home victory, that's certainly, who can see that?
The other thing, too, is that everybody looks at this, and with the Bengals having allowed exactly 11 points per game on average.
Oh, the vaunted Cincinnati defense, they found a way to overcome Mike Zimmer not being there.
Who talks like that, by the way?
Well, people that I'm mocking right now.
Okay.
That's a voice for people that I am mocking.
Does somebody really talk like that?
But I want to point this out. Even after the fugliness of New England's Monday night performance, defensive yards per game allowed. The Bengals, 352.7. And it is for the Patriots, 315.3. And
Before last week's debacle.
And in terms of the passing game, you have the Bengals who have allowed a fairly pedestrian 239.3 yards per game. That's nothing that special. New England, 186.5.
Yeah, they were number 1 in the league entering last week against Kansas City, which is, I had the under in that game.
So the perception.
And it didn't come in.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I was shocked.
The perception that Cincinnati right now is an impregnable defensive hammer and New England is just a hot mess defensively is not backed up by the numbers. And I think the numbers are fueling the perception that we're talking about here as well. So both of us are on New England. You are making it a recommendation.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, Cincinnati was a team that, going all the way back to the opening of the show, was one of those teams who we thought would regress this year that we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I think a loss is in order for this team, especially with,
again,
three of their next four at home. They're going to get off to a good start, and don't get me wrong, they right now I would make them the favorite to win this division.
Well, and we've talked about this.
But the second half of the schedule, a lot harder than the first, I'll say that.
We've talked about this. There's danger in the notion of going too far and believing in this, but I'm going to say it anyways. A world where the Bengals are 4-0 and the Patriots are 2-3, that's a little bit harder for me to fathom. No question about it. We get to my big three recommendations here, starting with the Monday Nighter. It's the 2-1 Seahawks at the the 1-3 Redskins, a battle of the
cities.
That's
1-3 Washington to you, by the way.
1-3 Washington Redskins, a battle of the two cities who bitterly contested the 1978 and 1979 NBA titles. I guess you could say this is the rubber match between the cities. You could say that.
I don't know why you would say that.
That just happened. Tirico, Gruden, and Salters on the call, ESPN, Monday night, 8:30 from FedEx Field, of course, the home field for the Redskins.
I'm a little tired of seeing this cover too, Mike. I actually kind of like that comment.
The Tampa 2,
he said. He said the Tampa 2. That made me laugh when he said that, because I'm kind of tired of seeing the Tampa 2 as well.
That is kind of funny. You got Seattle laying 7 in this one. It is down from 8.5. You have Seattle coming in to this game off of the bye week. So an extra amount of time for Pete Carroll and company, Dan Quinn and all of those guys to prepare for Kirk Cousins. I'll say it, like I said, in another game. Ruh-roh! This one, again, could be a housing because Seattle, they are pissed that they're not getting any home primetime games past the opener this year.
They're thinking that, huh?
Yeah,
they're
the kind of team that takes affronts to things like this. Go ask Richard Sherman if he's been thinking about the notion that they don't have any primetime games.
When has he ever been angry or upset about something?
Well, I can think of a few instances here. I probably should have been Mean Gene interviewing him on the sidelines after the NFC Championship game last year. Ultimately, you don't want to make too much out of the last game, but with the notion, and I'll give you credit, you were down on the whole Kirk Cousins bandwagon before a lot of people were.
I just didn't want to join it. I wasn't down on it. I just said, you know what, I'll wait. You know, if I'm the last guy on this bandwagon, I have no problem with that.
I just, again, they've had a little bit longer coming into this game as well, the last game having been a Thursday nighter.
That's key. I'm going to bring that up.
I don't know how you take Kirk Cousins against the best defense in the world coming off of that game. And, I realize that if you are taking Washington, the Redskins, it's not to win but to cover. I get the distinction there. I just think Seattle's going to lay it on them and cover the 7.
I am a stupid man that doesn't know how to count, which is interesting, given that we're projecting point spreads.
Where are you going with this?
I just said that I've made that New England was my 6th of 6 recommended plays.
Okay.
If you look at your sheet, you're probably going to see 5 games down there.
That is true.
Okay, guess why? My 6th of 6 recommended plays is the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
I'm going to take.
Thank you for using the full name, by the way.
Yes. I mean Washington.
Good old PC, Kyle.
I'm not taking Kirk Cousins against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm taking Kirk Cousins and 8.5 points against the Seattle Seahawks. 7.5s are out there. There is an 8.5 out there. Look, Monday night favorites always get bet up, so if you're like me and like dogs, wait till Monday to bet this game. Look, you know I love Seattle. I was the first guy. Bandwagons. I was the first guy to drive that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Okay?
You built the bandwagon.
Yes, okay? They're off a bye. I understand they're going to be fired up. As many times as Cousins turn the ball over against a pedestrian Giants defense, going against this defense, I mean, Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman have to be salivating. But that being said, a couple trends here that I'd like to bring up. Going back to a playoff game a few years ago, where RG3 got hurt in his career, kind of has hit the skids, Washington has now lost 13 of its last 14, as my math continues to go all over the place, 13 of its last 14 conference games.
Okay.
That's got to turn, doesn't it? Now, like you said, I'm not picking him to win straight up here.
Right.
But, Rick Morris, teams coming off a Thursday night loss this year have done quite well. How well, in fact? Green Bay in week 2 won straight up against the New York Jets.
Okay.
After that, we saw The Pittsburgh Steelers looked bad against Baltimore, came back the following week to win in Carolina. And then we saw the Giants last week. Or no, pardon me. We saw Tampa Bay, who got annihilated by Atlanta. They came back and won outright at Pittsburgh. Again, not saying Washington's going to win this game outright. This is just too many points in today's NFL. The Redskins, look, they're 1-3. That's kind of disappointing for a team that I thought would win the division. And I said Redskins again. And there, I just said it again. But Washington has been favored in three of its four games. Pardon me, just two. They've just been favored in two. They were favored at Jacksonville, housed them. They were favored last week. That did not go well. But then they split a pair of games. Then they have lost the two games they were a dog in, Houston and Philadelphia, on the road. I just think as a home dog, it's too attractive. Seattle may just get caught looking ahead here. Seattle 2-1, they've obviously been favored in all three games.
Looking ahead off a bye?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I mean, what's Washington going to impress them?
Okay.
Well, they host Dallas next week. That'll be
okay.
Fun.
All right.
I just think, you know, Seattle obviously going to be favored in every game. So at 2-1,
yeah,
they have not lived up to the point spread so far.
Okay. Well, Seattle is going to be the first of my three recommendations.
I think my token road favorite. Yeah, I just think the whole Rick Morris, oh, they're going to kill him this week. Those plays have not gone well.
They haven't.
They have not gone that well.
But on the other hand, Kyle Ross, aren't they due to start turning around?
I love where your head's
for
up.
A little progression.
Yeah.
I'm using your own theories against you. I love it. The next game.
So is the Republican Party.
I am not taking a road favorite in the next game, but I am taking a favorite. Go figure. It's the 2-1 Broncos hosting the 3-0 Cardinals. 4:05 Eastern Time. Sports Authority Field at Mile High.
I knew you'd be on
Denver.
This one. I knew you'd be on this
Fox's
one.
Fox's A team, Buck Aikman and Andrews on this one here. Denver laying 7 and had been 9.5 at the open. I am, but it's for. You should at least approve of my reason for this one here, even if you don't
approve of the
pick itself. This is the first time this year
I'm not going to hate this pick.
Okay, this is the first time this year that I have made one of my Why Ask Why picks a recommendation. I believe I'm 1-2 on those for the season. And of course, going back over a period of time, my Why Ask Why picks are whenever I really don't get it in terms of the line, and I'm just going to go the other way. Because always assume that the smart guys know more than you do. This one opened at 9.5. And in my estimation, with the way Arizona's played thus far, how does it open above 5 or 5.5? I understand it's at Denver. OMG, they're on the road. Got to tack on extra points. Hur, hur, hur. You know, but still.
That's the way it works, Ricky. You know that.
Even with the, yeah.
That's the way it works. I don't know if you should be mocking those people. Yes.
Well, yeah. You know. But I just feel like there's a lot of bloat in this, and it's come back to 7. But I don't get how Denver's laying 7 to Arizona. And I feel like, again, now the one thing, too, I feel like Arizona, as good as their record has been, at 244.7 yards per game through the air, I feel like they're due for a little bit of progression.
And who's going to be their quarterback
this week? That's a great secondary. As of now, it looks like it's going to be Carson Palmer.
Oh, yeah, it's 50-50. I'll tell you what, whoever their quarterback is, he ain't as good as Peyton Manning. I'll tell you that much.
I understand that. But the Arizona's defense, and again, it's a poor man's model of it, but as has been noted a lot, there are a lot of similarities to their defense and to Seattle's defense. And we've seen through at least 6 quarters out of 8 in the last year how Denver has stacked up against the Seattle defense. I just don't get how Denver is that big of a favorite against Arizona. I think it's going to be a close game, but like I said, the extent to how much I don't get it, the extent to how much it confuses me, is making me go on Denver. Because I'm just throwing up my hands in the air and I'm saying, if I feel that strongly about the spread, I'm probably wrong, because I usually am. So, give me Denver laying the 7.
Ironically, this is the one favorite that I don't hate on this week's card.
Okay.
Denver's a public team. Arizona's not. That's simple. That's
right.
Why they're laying what they are.
Okay.
Denver has not covered the spread this year, oh, by the way. 0-3 against the number.
Okay.
Their only loss was the only game they were an underdog at Seattle before the bye. Their offense has sort of gone down each week. Not sort of, has, from 31 to 24 to 20 points.
They haven't figured out what to do with Monty Ball. It has been incompetent play calling from Adam Gase.
Arizona has gone under in all three games. They are 3-0. They have been a dog the last 2 weeks. Upsets over the Giants in San Francisco. They did not cover the one time they were a favorite at home against San Diego on Monday night, 118-17. They have given up only 45 points total. I would never recommend a big favorite like this, I don't think, and I'm not going to this week, but I do not hate your pick this week at all. I think Denver's going to put a surprisingly high number of points up on this Arizona defense.
Okay.
Now, Bruce Arians has made me look like a fool now for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Really, 2.5 years going back to that year he was interim with Indianapolis. I mean, I don't know if it's that hipster hat, but this guy all of a sudden has become the coach of – this guy's become Vince Lombardi.
The guy who
I just don't understand how this team just keeps covering and winning with – Drew Stanton has been their quarterback the last two games.
Yeah. Well, part of
and
that –
And they beat San Francisco.
Part of that Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer, Sparty nexus that we talked about last week here. Those guys
they've beaten San Diego, the Giants, and San Francisco.
Exactly.
This team is not going to regress to the degree I thought.
Right, right.
They're going to be a team who I think fights but ultimately falls short of the playoffs.
Bruce Arians.
8-8, probably.
A guy who gets it done, notwithstanding the fact that on an average week on the sidelines is dressed worse than a starter at the Cleveland Metro Parks golf course. I mean, that's this guy does not have any sartorial flair at all.
Oh, okay.
And yet, you know, I say that wearing my, you know, black Red Wings shirt and shorts. But then again, I'm not an NFL head coach.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah.
I'm not holding myself up as any kind of a model for what to wear or what not to wear, certainly.
Thanks, Scotty Bowman. I'll tell you, he was always a very snazzy dresser.
He was. He
behind
was.
The bench.
He
thank
was.
You very much.
And Scotty Bowman, I believe, the greatest coach or manager of all time.
Well,
just
you
my
would.
Estimation.
Yeah, you would.
Well, he did it in different eras. He did it with the Montreal Canadiens of the early 70s. He did it with the Red Wings of the turn of the millennium. He bridged different eras, Kyle Ross.
You know what those eras all had in common, by
what?
The way? No one watched.
Oh, you got to go to the hockey hater card
yeah, yes.
on me.
What's
wow.
The, yes.
Kyle Ross playing the heel road fan again here
yes.
on me. All right, well, that, I'm sure you're nice with the mocking gesture here. Here's your chance to heel on me for my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 5.
Nothing like picking the game where the line just came out.
Yeah. It's the 1-2 Browns at the 1-3 Titans. 1 o'clock Eastern time, LP Field in Nashville. Andrew Kettle.
Hey, Bruce.
Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline on the call for this one. Yeah.
I don't know if this is the F team or the H team. I don't know. I have to have my CVS score sheet out here.
Yeah, yeah. Where in the alphabet with FDH are they exactly?
Yeah.
As we tie it back in.
Very good.
Browns in
they're
this
G.
one. Yeah. Browns are getting 2 up from 1.5 at the open. Again, not to oversimplify, but the better team's getting points in this one. Again, I understand it's a road game here, but for once, I'm not.
I don't know why you're mocking, by the way, like 50 years of handicapping by like saying, oh, yeah, I know we have to give the home team 3 points. Usually you do. It's hard to win on the road in this league, you know.
All right, so you're telling me then that on a neutral field that the Browns should only be favored by 1. I guess I don't get that.
We're in the business of favoring the Cleveland Browns now?
Well, I've watched the first 3 games. And I will say, FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Callis, who called me after the last Browns game, was like, he gives me the take of, well, wouldn't you have been happy with 1-2 after the first? I said, first of all, I said no.
I don't think
I said
that's a bad take.
I didn't
by Steve.
Because no. Because I don't agree with Mr. Callis on this one. I'll tell you why.
Please do.
I didn't accept 0-3 coming out of that. Did you? They're guaranteed to be 0-3.
No.
I never believed that.
I thought 1-2 was realistic.
But like I watched the games and they pissed away 2 of them. So how can I be as a Browns fan? And it's hard.
Yeah, they
to
also.
Separate.
I mean, they stole one of them, maybe. Although they played well in the first half.
Yeah, you know. So there's that. I mean, they hung with New Orleans. I don't think
and
there
they
was
didn't
anything.
Just hang with them. They beat them.
Yeah,
by the way, a recommended play by yours truly.
Yeah, and I don't think there was anything stolen about that game there. The Ravens won. I will tell you from watching it. There's a lot of games where you know, and you know what I'm talking about. You watch games, you see certain plays. And it's just like that's it. They're not going to win the game. The Browns had like 4 or 5 of those against Baltimore.
Yeah, and they came from all phases.
Yes, yes, they did.
By the way, you know, they would not be any better right now if Johnny Manziel was
no, they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be. But the thing of it is, the thing that's weird about the Browns, defense worse than we've expected,
yes.
Offense better than we've expected.
This is a great take by you.
And it's kind of an odd thing.
Their offense 3rd in DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, great Football Outsiders. Who would have thought that?
Exactly. I mean, and they've done
given
it.
That, you'd think they would have a winning record.
Well, yes. Jordan Cameron, I don't know if he's probably not going to be 100% you know, by this week. Interestingly, Ben Tate coming back may represent a setback for the running game if it means there's going to be less Isaiah Kroll because he's the best guy on the roster.
Ooh.
The wide receivers have been better than we thought. In short, The Browns are more likely to progress defensively than they are to regress offensively. And in this game here right now, I don't think it's very close. Well, I mean, it's not like the Browns are 12-4 and the Titans are 4-12. I don't mean to imply that, but I mean, as far as, well, it's a coin flip about who's the better team. Really? When Tennessee can't even figure out who their starting quarterback's going to be, and when it might not make much difference based on what we've seen thus far, give me the Browns. My Browns getting 2 on the road, not a homer pick, but it's one that just jumped out at me. How are the Browns getting points? I just don't understand it. It must just be the simpleton thing of, well, they're 1-2. How good could they really be? And, you know, if they'd played an extra game like the Titans, maybe they'd be 1-3. I just think it's a lot of simplistic analysis that's putting the Browns and the Titans at rough parity right now. They're not roughly par.
You would make the Cleveland Browns a road favorite against another NFL team.
If that team is Tennessee, who you said before might be down there with Jacksonville by the time the year's over, that's what we're heading for. And I'm a big Coach Wiz guy. But what have they done after the opener, Kyle? They've been atrocious.
Why did he take this job and not the Detroit job again?
I don't know. Bad move by him. Bad move.
Coach Wiz, taking a whiz. Huh?
Coach Wiz, it just...
All right. I'm going to agree with you on one thing. The Browns are a better team here.
Yeah.
But as a guy who watches far too much of this team,
yeah,
this is not my team. I've never been a Browns fan, but I've always lived in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of game that they just gut punch the fan base and lose. This, to me, I am stunned that this is your top play. This was the first game.
I don't really like the card that much.
This was the first game I crossed out.
Really?
To me, this is a coin flip game. Here's the problem. Tennessee, look, I could have said this going into last week. They got annihilated with your boy Chaz Whitehurst under center. But the clipboard Jesus, as he's some sort of affectionately known as, they have been awful the last three games.
Yep.
They've lost by 16, 26, and 24.
Yep.
That's not good. They lost here. Good God, where do you go from here? I can't. I know the Browns are off a bye, but Tennessee's going to be so desperate to win here. Here's the thing. Browns in their next four games.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their next four-game stretch. Home for Pittsburgh, at Jags, home for Oakland, home for Tampa Bay. They'll go 3-1. They could go 4-0 in those games, actually. I just think that's when they make their move. I'm really, really nervous. I would be very nervous about being high on Cleveland in this spot. It's a team that has not turned the ball over yet.
Okay.
Keep in mind.
Yeah,
they're
due.
I've defended Brian Hoyer more than I should have, and I'm not a Brian Hoyer fan. I just think that, to your point, given how we viewed the Browns' offense and the Browns' defense coming into the year,
yeah,
the way the Browns this is my take on the Browns, and it's what I've said to everyone. Given the way that we viewed the Browns' offense before the year and the way we viewed the Browns' defense before the year, if you would have told me that the Browns' offense would have played as well as they have through three games, I would say, you know what? They may have two wins. They don't. The loser here is, whoever it is in a lot of trouble. It is probably a team that I'm willing to...
Well, Tennessee's in more trouble, like you said, because of the Browns' upcoming schedule.
Yeah, well, Tennessee, yeah, they have a home game coming against Jacksonville next week that they could get it right. I just think this is a coin flip game, Ricky. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I agree with the odds makers. It's a coin flip game. No, thank you.
All right. I guess I'm just substantially more down on Tennessee right now than you are. So, all right, to recap on my big three, I am on the two Super Bowl teams from last year, Seattle and Denver. And, of course, in the old which of these three doesn't exactly fit here, the Cleveland Browns are the third of my three teams. And they are my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 5. You have Houston, St. Louis, Buffalo, Jacksonville, New England, and Washington. A real motley crew, especially with some of the first ones on that list.
You got Mick Mars and Nikki Six and Tommy Lee and Vince Neil there. Jacksonville's probably the present-day Vince Neil, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yes,
the bloated Vince Neil who has trouble hitting the high notes in Livewire.
And something that I've stolen from the aforementioned little guy here, the phrase, a real rogues gallery.
Yes, yes.
So,
hey, the rogues galleries get them done somehow.
They do.
I can see a 4-2 out of that.
You've been playing a lot of those this year, and they've been 11-6 thus far. So, yeah, 4-2 would keep you right exactly on pace with where you've been.
Breaking news on the show here as I'm texted. Joik Bell is out Sunday with a concussion.
Your
hipster running back.
Okay. All right.
Back to the bar for him.
He got his bell rung last week. That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's not funny.
Brady
Hoke wouldn't notice it, though, of course.
Brady Hoke.
Oh, he's fine.
Send him back in.
Yeah. Just rub some dirt on it.
Yeah. My quarterbacks don't wear a skirt. They don't come out for concussions.
He's a real competitor.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the same head coach who in 2014 doesn't wear a headset.
Yeah, exactly. So, Unfortunately for him, there will be no
more like Brady joke.
That's a terrible, terrible line. Don't be caught saying that one on Saturday.
Well, unfortunately, with the untimely passing of James Gandolfini, there will never be a Sopranos reunion, so he'll never be able to reprise his role as Bobby Bacala. That's gone for good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he might be looking for a knockoff in about, I don't know, what, 2 months?
Could very well be.
By the way, you'll like this as we make a rare left turn to the college game for some discussion there. Desmond Howard, Michigan man, a fine former Heisman Trophy winner.
By the way, game day has gone downhill. Since
I know
they
you hate Desmond Howard.
He should be at the kids' table.
I know you hate
him. Like usual.
And I'll tell you what, though. I always think about that when I see him sitting there and contributing.
How much it enrages me.
He owes Lee Corso an apology. And, you know, Lee Corso is not exactly one who has given a lot of great takes over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's a nice man who has one hell of a gimmick at the end of that three-hour show. But that's, I mean, let's be honest. You wait for 3 hours for him to put on a headgear.
Right.
Lee Corso made a comment that people jumped on him for, that people were like, oh, you crazy old Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think was that off going into last week. Said Michigan would be a 4-win team. I'm only talking about this because, you know I like Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm a Michigan, lifelong Michigan. I didn't think that was a terrible pick. Desmond Howard was, like, laughing at him. Mm-hmm. And, like, oh, you like, it wasn't like, he was like, you're an idiot. Basically, I don't think Michigan's going to win 4 games.
No, I don't think they
are
either.
They're horrible.
I don't think they are.
I mean, just in case, no one cares, but I just wanted I'm sure you're reveling in this this nadir of the Michigan. Yeah, one thought the nadir could not get lower than Rich Rod. But the nadir has found a way to get lower.
New depths. Well, I'll bring it full circle by saying, in terms of the picks here, thank God there's Brady Hoke to make my picks for the year for college look good. 10-14-1 thus far through the first several weeks of the season.
I've kind of struggled in college, too. I started last Saturday 3-0. And then went 0-3 at night for a 3-3 split. I've had some great upsets this year, and then teams that just get blown out. I pretty much do the same thing. You know me, Ricky, my strategy. I'm always on dogs.
Yep.
I love home dogs even more
in
college. It's really hard to win on the road in college. Had some good ones at Arkansas, had Colorado, who played Cal. I remembered I played against Cal last week. But also it's Syracuse, who stunk it up, and North Carolina. So,
well, always a pleasure to record these in person with you, my friend.
Yes.
It allows for a little bit more breathing room as well for us to do this. So thank you so much. You and I have both been crushing it on the season. Me even more so when you look at my things, when you take out my top plays.
Yes.
30-19 without my recommended plays.
That's a real
You on just your recommended ones have been crushing
it. That's a real handicapper move. When you take out my recommended plays, I'm really good.
I hope through the first 4 weeks you've only been playing my non-recommended plays. I meant to say that was the way it was supposed
to go. Yes,
yes. You know, it's not my fault if you didn't handle it that way.
Yes.
So through 5 weeks here, we got our picks in for
through
this
four.
Week.
Yeah, through four. Well,
we got ours in through five. Looking forward to week six as we continue to go along. Thank you for coming over and doing this, my friend. And thank you all for tuning in to yet another sterling mini episode of the FBH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.